We've asked, keep, one of the questions that we get when we chat with grief associations is this whole issue that's been brought up before, and that is relative to what are the standard SNFs? And, you know, what's ISAG doing? What's ICAR doing? These are the organizations that provide standards for microsatellites, and prior to that, of course, the blood typing. So Dr. Brent Woodward, who's actually on our R&D staff, and those of you who don't know Brent, I'll tell you a little bit about him. Brent actually is a native of Oklahoma and grew up on a ranch in Oklahoma. And in Oklahoma, got a master's and PhD at Cornell University in animal breeding and statistics, and went on the faculty at the University of Missouri, has worked at USDA as a scientist, and has been with Mariel now for about 4 years in our R&D group, and has played a really, really key role as we've developed our identity profile from one SNP 4 years ago to now we have lots of them. So we appreciate the diligence and the effort that Brent adds to our team. And Brent's going to tell us a little bit about his experience just recently in the UK visiting with the ICAR and ISAG people.
Thanks, Jim. I'm going to make this really quick because this will just be a high-level overview. Let me quickly first tell you, though, that ICAR, that maybe the big difference is between ICAR and ISAG. So ICAR is International Committee on Animal Recording, and ISAG stands for the International Society for Animal Genetics. And you can think of ICAR basically as kind of the applied side of the two groups, and ISAG is more of the molecular, the hardcore scientist side. So ISAG, the reason you talk about the ISAG microsatellites is because they're the group that actually set the standards of what those microsatellites would be. And ICAR has gotten into the standards testing side of things. So they do testing on RFIDs, for example, on whether they're ISO approved and those kinds of things. So they see themselves as also being kind of a standards body for parentage markers and so on. I just was at the biannual meeting for ICAR, and that was just a couple weeks ago. And the Secretary General is Andrea Rosati, and he's actually heads up the organization in Italy, and basically had an opportunity to sit down with him. He used to run a genetic testing lab in Italy, and he did 65,000 parentage tests a year, so he has a pretty good insight into what the technology is, and he basically felt like it's kind of a no-brainer that the technology is going to SNPs. The only thing he sees holding things back are laboratories doing microsatellite testing, and the fact that they've been through the one transition already where they went from blood typing to microsatellites, and now they're getting a little bit maybe on the cold feet side of having to go through that cost to transition from microsatellites to SNPs. But in talking with, I'll get into the, I have one other slide, the ISAG chairwoman that I've been speaking to, she has an interesting perspective on that. But anyway, Andrea invited us to actually help set the standards because he thought that one thing that they might be missing right now today in ICAR is enough manpower to get the committee rolling to get those standards set in place. They had already planned to do that. They had had kind of a 3 to 5 year time frame on when they were going to do that. They want to do that in the next year. At the summary, at the very end of the ICAR meeting, the gentleman in charge of the DNA analysis committee set up, and out of the 10 bullet points that he gave, probably 5 of those were on how they're going to make progress on setting standards and using SNPs for parentage and animal identification. So you can see that I've kind of highlighted those things to establish those standards, and the work session that that I talk about there is what I was just referring to and what he mentioned. And the other thing I might point out that hopefully we'll be able to send you out some version of, I wrote a paper looking at SNPs for parentage and doing some of the comparison between SNPs and STRs. And so some of the questions that have been asked here, and I only volunteered to answer one of those, but a number of those other questions that maybe you haven't asked were going to be presented in that paper. It's a research-based paper, not all about identity. It's talking about what does the literature tell us, what are the research experiments that tell us relative to whether these SNPs are going to be better. Then ISAG is actually in 2 weeks from roughly from now, 3 weeks, and that's going to be over in the Netherlands. And in that case, I've been also working with the main person in charge of ISAG. That's not a full-time position like it is in ICAR, but this person's name is Andre Hayden, and he's actually an IMRA scientist, and IMRA is basically France's equivalent to USDA. So he's in charge of kind of, in his current position, of making things move forward in ISAG. Again, he's a molecular geneticist, very well informed on the differences in the technology. He also sees it moving forward. But what we've actually managed to do by working with both of these guys is move the time table up, basically, getting official stances on SNPs. So we've actually been given the opportunity to give that same presentation, only with a little more detail, at the ISAG meeting. So about 3 weeks' time, I'll be speaking to those group in the parentage or DNA analysis workshop equivalent at ISAG. And in communicating back and forth with that session chair, I thought it was interesting, just in her last comment 2 days ago, she wrote me that several labs actually had already indicated they want to use SNPs, and it's just a matter of getting those standards in place. So just quickly then, several people have brought that issue up, but just to drive it home perhaps, is that the 120-some SNPs that Mike Heaton came up with, a majority of those are on the 50K chip. 99 of those SNPs that are on that chip that are also being used by us already for parentage. That does not necessarily mean that that would be the final worldwide set of SNPs, but that is the most common set of SNPs in use today. You need to maybe take into account that there are tens of thousands of animals being genotyped with that 50K chip worldwide. And I'm talking from Australia, New Zealand, to all over Europe. INRA has done thousands of animals. You've already heard the USDA has done thousands of animals. There's private research projects at universities and others that we're involved in that are using that same chip. So there are many, many key influential AI sires in all beef breeds and dairy breeds already genotyped with that chip. So you can be assured that there are going to be a lot of those transition problems, not be as expensive for any individual lab as we might have expected when the transition occurred from blood typing to microsatellites. So again, just reiterate that from the science side, that a number of these research papers that I've reviewed talk about that equivalent number of SNPs to microsatellites that are being used today, somewhere between 40 and 60. Those papers cover humans, pigs, and cattle in terms of what I've actually summarized for you in that paper. And there is a discussion, we had that discussion last week at ICAR, 2 weeks ago at ICAR. I envision having that discussion again in a few weeks at ISAG, developing this common database of genotypes coming out of that 50K chip. While everybody might not be keen to share their entire genotype from the 50K, they probably won't be too concerned about sharing the parentage markers or ones that could be used strictly for parentage markers. So I think a lot of the progress is going to happen pretty quickly as a result of some of those kinds of things. With that, Jim, I'll quit because that's all we're supposed to get into.